first, Wisconsin's legislative maps for the next 10 years are sitting on Governor Evers' desk, figuratively, if not literally. The state Senate passed the Republican-drawn districts along party lines on Monday. The state assembly followed suit yesterday. That's as far as they're expected to go. Evers has said he would veto any GOP redistricting plan. He's gotten behind proposals from a panel he created called the People's Maps Commission. But lawmakers rejected those maps this week with a number of Democrats joining the vote against them. Assuming Evers vetoes the Republican maps, then it's up to the courts to figure out how to set the boundaries for the state's 33 Senate, 99 Assembly, and 8 congressional districts. But which court? Republicans want the state Supreme Court to sort it out. Democrats want it dealt with in federal court. Either way, it has to be settled by April 15th of next year at the latest. That's when candidates are scheduled to begin circulating nomination papers for fall primary elections. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you hope to see come out of all of this? If you had a chance to see the proposals, which ones do you think are more fair, the one that passed the legislature or the commissions? Or do you see flaws with both? Do you want redistricting to be done the way it's done now by lawmakers, or do you want a different method? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We're going to get a couple different perspectives. First, Joe Handrick is executive director of Common Sense Wisconsin, a former Republican state representative from Minocqua. Joe, thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, happy to be here.
You're looked at as a kind of a redistricting guru on the conservative side of things. You worked on this issue 10 years ago or so. First, what are your thoughts on what came out of the legislature this time around?
Well, the legislative map is what they are calling a least changes map, which means they took the map that was enacted 10 years ago and tried to make as little changes to it as possible. And I presume that in doing that, what the legislature is doing is looking ahead to court when they have to present maps in court, because when a court draws a map, what a court is supposed to do and is expected to do is make the minimal changes to the existing law as necessary to bring the map back into conformance. And so I think the Republican legislature was simply looking ahead and trying to pass a map that they believe would be positively viewed by the courts.
Was that the method you and the people who worked on the maps 10 years ago used to set the maps that came to effect, I should say, in 2011?
Well, actually, it goes back further than that. A nonpartisan panel of federal judges in 1992 put in a new map for Wisconsin. And in the 2002 trial, which is now 20 years ago, the two sides had really the same arguments that you're hearing today. The Republicans in 2002 went to the court and said that what the court should do is base the new map off of the existing map. And Democrats back in 2002 told the court that the existing map, even though it was drawn by a federal panel of judges, that that map was too biased in terms of Republicans just because of the geography of Wisconsin. And they urged the court to throw out the existing map and start from scratch. So if that sounds familiar, that is from 2002. That's a little bit of a preview of what I think the argument will be when this heads to court this year or next year.
Now, your organization drew up a map, and as I understand it, you used not the 2011 map, our existing map, as the starting point. You went back to that 2002 map, if I'm reading it right. Could you tell us what kind of map you were looking for?
Yeah, well, we did both. We drew maps based off of the existing map, but we also went back 10 years and drew a map off of that court plan from 2002. And the reason we did that was the People's Maps Commission made it clear that they did not want to use the existing map that we have today as the starting point. But it's important to use something as a starting point, or you end up with a real disaster, which is actually what happened to the commission. So what we suggested to them was, fine, if you don't want to use the existing map as a starting point, if you believe that it's too partisan towards Republicans, then go back 10 years and use the map that was adopted by the court in 2002. They chose not to pay any attention to us, and what they did instead was they created a map from scratch, not based off of any prior map, and the results speak for themselves with the very large bipartisan vote against Governor Evers' maps.
One of the common criticisms of the existing map that the new maps that passed the legislature are based on, I think I could sum this up, we've had very close statewide elections in Wisconsin. Trump's win in 2016, Biden's in 2020, state constitutional offices in 2018, all really close races. But then we get an assembly, for example, that has a big Republican majority, even though these other elections are 50-50. What do you say to people who say that's evidence that the maps are biased too far on the behalf of Republicans?
Well, what it's evidence of is that in Wisconsin, Democratic voters are extremely concentrated in Madison, Milwaukee, and in a half dozen other cities. And so Wisconsin is a purple 50-50 state. But in Milwaukee and Madison, you have areas that are 80 and 90% Democratic. And so those districts are going to be 80% Democratic. And what happens when you create a bunch of districts in the two largest cities that are that overwhelmingly Democratic, that leaves the rest of the population of the state, means the rest of the state is going to lean towards the Republican side. So if you apply objective redistricting criteria and you simply draw a map and you don't pay any attention to politics, you start in one corner or any corner you wish, and you draw square, compact, equally populated districts, there's always going to be more Republican districts than there are Democratic districts. That's just the political makeup, the geopolitical makeup of the state of Wisconsin.
Talking to Joe Handrick with Common Sense Wisconsin, looking at redistricting in the state. Let's go to your calls at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us in Richland Center. Tom, hi.
Yeah, listen, I ran for assembly a couple of times in Richland County. And what the gentleman just said isn't exactly true. Richland County is very rural, and it went for Obama, and it went for Trump. So it's got the same issues that the state has. It flips back and forth. But generally speaking, the 68% of the seats are held by 38% of the votes or something like that. In terms of the Democrats have a chance only of getting 38% of the seats with all their votes, the way it is right now. So it's got to be more equitable. I support Iowa-style nonpartisan redistricting commission that uses logic and good geometry and not gerrymandering.
Tom, thanks for the call. And I've seen, to that first point, Joe, I've seen arguments that, yes, what you said about geography does give Republicans an advantage, but not that much of an advantage as we see in the current maps. What do you say to that and our caller's point?
Well, the gentleman raised actually the second reason that the Republicans have the size of majority they do now. You are correct. It's not entirely due to political geography. It's also partly due to the fact that in all of the very competitive races in the state of Wisconsin, Republicans have won most of them in the last 10 years. They've just simply done a better job of recruiting candidates and winning elections. There have been, in fact, 80 elections held in what we call 50-50 districts that are toss-up districts, and Republicans have won 69 out of those 80 seats. And that gentleman's part of the state is a great example of that. Grant County actually is a 50-50 county. It votes for Obama, but then it votes for Trump. It voted for Walker, and then it voted for Tammy Baldwin. But yet a Republican at the assembly level has consistently won the Grant County Assembly District, not because of gerrymandering, but because that Republican candidate has always outperformed the rest of the ticket. The best example is right next to that gentleman in the 51st Assembly District, which is Iowa and Lafayette counties. Tony Evers got 55% of the vote in 2018 in that district, but yet that very same day, the Republican candidate for state assembly won. So the Democrats' problem in the legislature isn't just the maps. It's also their inability to win competitive districts and close districts.
And I want to wrap up with you, Joe, with our caller's second point. A lot of supporters of change point toward the Iowa model, a nonpartisan, or people call it a nonpartisan system. What do you think of the idea of doing that as opposed to sticking with our current system, lawmakers pass a thing and a governor signs it or sends it to the courts?
Right. Well, when it comes to nonpartisan commissions, one thing we know for sure now is that the model Tony Evers tried is an absolute disaster. But as for the Iowa model, what's important to note is that in Iowa, the legislature still passes the map. They do not have to accept what the commission sends them. So when the commission is drawing the districts, and right now in Iowa, for example, there's Republican control in the legislature. The commission knows that they better present a map that those Republican legislators are going to view favorably, or it's not going to pass. And then I would note the exact opposite happens in California, where there's a nonpartisan commission. There, there's an overwhelming Democratic majority in the legislature, so their nonpartisan commission tends to forward maps that are advantageous to the Democrats. So I've never been convinced that it actually solves anything. And the biggest problem that I have with nonpartisan commissions is, well, who appoints the members of them? Because someone's still going to be appointing these members. And what we learned with Tony Evers' nonpartisan commission is that they were anything but nonpartisan. They actually, most of them turned out to be activists from the Democratic Party or liberal causes.
Thanks for the call. And Joe, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you for having me on, and give my best to Jay Heck.
Joe Hendrick is Executive Director of Common Sense Wisconsin and a former Republican state representative from Minocqua. We talked to him about legislative maps that passed the legislature this week. Governor Evers expected to veto them, sending it to the courts to hash out. He set up the transition there. We'll hear from a critic of those Republican maps, Jay Heck, coming up, and you could still join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts or questions on the topic of redistricting. The maps that are coming out from Republicans now, the ones we've had for the last 10 years, and the process we use to set those maps in the state. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the latest developments on Wisconsin's legislative maps. Earlier this week, the state Senate rejected proposals from Governor Evers' People's Maps Commission and approved the boundaries drawn by Republicans. The Assembly followed suit yesterday, sending the GOP maps to Evers. He is expected to veto their plan. That means the courts are going to end up deciding what the maps will look like, most likely. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts on where we are now, what you hope comes out of all this. That's 800-642-1234. We heard from Joe Hendrick in our last segment about his organization's ideas on how to draw the state's legislative borders. Now Jay Heck joins us, Executive Director of Common Cause in Wisconsin. Jay, welcome back to the show.
Hey, Rob. Great to talk to you again. It's been a long time.
It's been a while. Yeah. Why? What are you hoping happens here once these maps land on Governor Evers' desk?
Well, that he vetoes them really before they even hit the desk. You know, these are the most gerrymandered maps 10 years ago when the Republicans really were the architects of the most gerrymandered partisan maps in the entire nation and amongst the worst in the last 50 years. And the maps that they put forward this week and passed along strict party lines are simply a reflection of the same thing they did 10 years ago. What my friend Joe Hendrick kind of glossed over was the fact that in 2011, Republicans moved 2.4 million Wisconsinites in order to redraw congressional and state legislative districts so that they would be able to control them for 10 years. And this time around, they've said, well, we want to retain the districts just as they were 10 years ago, because we don't want to confuse the poor people of Wisconsin. We want core retention. And so the hypocrisy is just incredible. So what they want to do is bake in the most partisan gerrymandered maps in the last in Wisconsin's history.
Now, we heard the argument there that Wisconsin, the geography, the population kind of gerrymanders itself with Democrats concentrated in some areas. To translate those numbers into more seats, you'd have to do some convoluted cartography. That's part of the story here, right?
Well, it is true that Democrats tend to concentrate a bit more in urban areas. But, you know, gerrymandering wasn't a thing before 2011. And that's why control of the Wisconsin legislature flipped back and forth between Republicans and Democrats. And so while there is some truth to the fact that Republicans are more spread out, you can certainly draw a map that doesn't pack Democrats into many fewer districts, which is what the Republicans did in 2011 and want to do again this time, and spread out Republicans just enough so that you can win any seat that is possibly close. The fact is, there are so few close seats. We have 99 assembly districts in Wisconsin. Less than 10%, less than 9 of them are even remotely competitive. And that is a function of rigging the maps to get a preordained outcome. And that's what they're trying to do again.
Now, you've been supportive of the process of the People's Maps Commission giving this alternative map. What did you think of their final product?
Well, you know, look, the People's Maps Commission is a brand new thing. They were citizens. They were amateurs. They didn't have experts like Joe Hendrick writing their maps. And I think the process was great because it was open. There was 10 months of hearings where the public could weigh in. Over 1,000 maps were submitted to the People's Maps consideration for consideration. Very unlike the Republican process, which was done again in secret with almost no public input. The final product, I think, was flawed. There's no question. I urged, and Common Cause urged them not to have fewer majority districts. That's one of the things that came out of the final version. And that is why there was such a bipartisan vote against the People's Maps in the Wisconsin legislature. But, you know, it's not the People's Maps that are on trial. It's the Republican maps. Everyone knew that this was going to be the maps that are going to pass. And those are the maps that will be considered by the courts, not the People's Maps, although the People's Maps might be considered by the court as possible alternatives.
We are talking to Jay Heck from Common Cause Wisconsin about redistricting here in the state. The maps just passed by Republicans, expected to be vetoed by Governor Evers. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Let's go to Jimmy in Valley Junction. Jimmy, hi.
Hello. Yeah, I live in central Wisconsin. I've been redistricted in the last 30 years three times. I had Tom Petrie, then Ron Kind, and then I didn't know it, but I had Sean Duffy from way up in northern part of Wisconsin. And I think one of the aspects of redistricting is there's supposed to be a community of interest, you know, amongst the folks in that district. And I don't know what we got in common down here in central Wisconsin with somebody who lives in Bayfield like Tom Tiffany.
Thanks for that call. And Jay, some people find the borders shifting beneath their feet.
Yeah, it's remarkable. As I mentioned, in 2011, they moved 2.4 million people. That's a third of the state, more than a third of the state, just like this gentleman, so that they could get partisan control. And that's not as it should be. You know, the solution to this, and you touched on it with Joe Hendrick, is to have a nonpartisan system like they have in Iowa. And in Iowa, it's the equivalent of the Legislative Reference Bureau that draws the maps, but they draw them according to strict nonpartisan criteria. Things like squares and rectangles are good, you know, keeping counties together. The Republican gerrymander split 48 counties, and we only have 72 in Wisconsin in 2011. So there's a better way to do it. And the nonpartisan system in Wisconsin, in Iowa was put into place by a Republican governor, a Republican legislature, and just last week, a Republican trifecta, legislature and governor, passed the nonpartisan maps drawn by the Reference Bureau. It's something that could be done in Wisconsin, but unfortunately, Robin Voss and Devin Lemieux, the leaders, do not want to give up the tremendous power that they have over their members by being able to control the redistricting process.
Let's go back to our callers now. Daniel is on the line in Campbellsport. Daniel, hi.
Yes, hello. How are you?
Good. What did you want to bring up, Daniel?
Well, in my case, in 20th District is in Campbellsport area, in Ozaukee County and in Fond du Lac, Sheboygan counties, is they didn't have any candidates at the last election, even though everybody knew that it was probably going to swing heavily Democratic. The Democratic Party didn't any up a single candidate, and Dewey Strobel won that district unopposed, even though he had to primary himself. So even though I'm a lifelong Democrat, I tend to agree with the previous host or expert that you got to have a candidate to win. It doesn't matter what the districts are drawn. But they use that as an excuse not to even run a candidate.
Daniel, thanks for the call. Jay, the argument that Democrats are blaming gerrymandering for their failures in fielding candidates in the legislature.
Well, if Daniel's senator was Dewey Strobel, he was in a utterly safe Republican district. and there's no chance that a Democrat would have won. And it is true that there are some districts in Wisconsin where one party or the other do not put up a candidate because it's hopeless, because the election has already been decided by the way the lines were drawn. And Campbellsport is in a district that is safe Republican. There's not a chance a Democrat would win that district in the way that it has been drawn right now. And that's exactly the problem. What we should do is be able to draw districts where there is more competition and where there's more ability for candidates of both political parties to be able to state their case to the voters, rather than just have the winner of the Republican primary or the Democratic primary be declared the winner in the general election.
Thanks for that call. And Jay, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks so much, Rob. Appreciate it.
That's Jay Heck, Executive Director of Common Cause in Wisconsin. We talked to him about the status of Wisconsin's legislative maps. Governor Evers is expected to veto the Republican-led plans, sending the matter to the courts to decide, state courts or federal courts. We'll see. Earlier, we heard another perspective from Joe Handrick from the group Common Sense Wisconsin. By the way, if you want to learn more about redistricting in Wisconsin and how we got where we are today, check out WPR's recent podcast series called Mapped Out. You can listen to all six episodes. A lot of great information in there at WPR.org/mappedout.